This podcast is rated R for restricted. Under 17 requires accompanying parent or adult guardian.
Mission 215.
Welcome to the Mission 250 Filmcast, where we are watching the 250 best movies of all time. This week, we are watching number 181, which is the 1976 movie Network, directed by Sidney Lumet and written by Paddy Chayefsky. The synopsis of this movie is, a television network cynically exploits a deranged former anchor's ravings and revelations about the news media for its own profit. TC, would you want to give a rundown of what we do on this podcast each week?
Sure. So we froze the top 250 list on IMDb for user-based reviews. We watch one of those a week, and we're working backwards from 250 to 1, so the movies progressively get better, I hope. And so we basically give our opinions or take on the movie. Denny usually has some trivia to offer up. John has some good insights. And then, I usually make a bunch of noise, and that's pretty much
it. A couple of laughs. Yeah, and this week, John, it is your turn to review this movie first.
Network, huh?
Network.
This film, Sidney Lumet, he directed Dog Day Afternoon, which was my favorite of our first 50 that we did.
Yes.
And there's a couple things that happened that I already really like. He uses soundtrack not at all, which is nice in terms of music. There's hardly any.
Yeah.
So that always makes it feel more real. This movie's really crazy. It just goes everywhere. It's got lots of speeches. It's like really dark. It feels really predictive. This is back in 76. And I don't think the idea of people doing whatever for ratings and not really giving a crap about news anymore, or whether the news is truthful or anything, but just trying to go for entertainment. That's pretty cool. And it's really dark.
Cool?
And the characters.
Cool.
Huh?
How do you mean awesome. Cool?
It's awesome. It's part of this big conglomerate that's the whole galaxy now.
And that's cool?
Yeah,
it's cool because awesome. It happened really even further.
Yeah, yeah. It was very predictive. I'm telling you, in the context of the movie, it's really smart,
okay.
I think. And like that's what's kind of cool about it. Like seeing it now, that it's like over 20 years ago, over 30 years ago, that it was
over
smart
40 years ago.
40, shit.
Yeah.
Let's just keep going.
Yeah.
Can we stop at 40?
50?
Right.
No,
too much. Okay, sorry. It's late for me to think about numbers. So that's kind of amazing. I think that, again, to be time traveling, John, it could have been kind of mind blowing back then and maybe seemed silly. Like it was like stretching too far. And of course it just tries to go as far as it can. Like, ending with like the on air assassination. Right. It just tries to go totally over the top to just hammer home its point. And all of that's great. And we can talk more about the political context and whatnot. That's fine. But there are lots of great scenes, lots of great speeches, which I like to see in movies, even if it feels a little theatrical at times. The actors are just all into it. Peter Finch, Howard Beale is fun to watch being crazy guy. Mm-hmm. It's fun how they do his craziness where he's like thinking that he's somehow touched. And I think that's kind of really amazing to watch. I thought Ned Beatty's speech is my favorite scene in the movie, where he brings Beale into his room, his boardroom with all the green lamps.
Gotta love the green lamps.
Preaches a whole new gospel to him.
Yeah.
I thought it was so awesome.
That was sick.
And the way the camera like just shows you for quite some time, all you're seeing is this angle through the green lamps, kind of what he's seeing.
Right.
That was just what was really cool. It's like, all right, we're going to show you this guy who's crazier than the crazy guy who sort of is going to speak to his level and out crazy him and impress him.
But be more aware of his craziness at the same time.
Right, exactly. And I thought that was amazing. I was very impressed by that. But the idea too, it's like, democracy's gone. Individuals are, like they kept like upping the stakes, not just in terms of kind of what happened and what people were willing to do, but the worldview kept going crazier and crazier. And not crazy necessarily in an unreal way, but just sort of like more like extreme, I guess. And so more and more corrupted too. Like I was able to watch like the first 5 minutes of Sidney Lumet's commentary on the movie, which I'd like to watch more when I get a chance.
Nah, it's boring.
But he said, like, is it? Well,
it's
one
pretty
thing
boring.
He said was like, he kind of wanted the whole film to feel like everybody, including the camera, was getting more and more corrupted as it went on.
That was one of the best parts of the entire commentary, was him saying that. Yeah.
And yeah, so you can kind of see that. Like, he wanted everybody to just go downhill. So, you know, everybody's playing this to the hilt. And that's, again, it's really cool to see that. Just everybody's, like, chewing up scenery whenever they get the chance. And again, sometimes that might feel overly theatrical or something. But I think in the context of this film, it works really well.
Yeah.
So normally you could get kind of annoyed by all these speeches, but I just love it. When it's done right, it's pretty cool. We saw like that in, what's it called? Fanny and Alexander, right? We got to see, they built up to these speeches with these characters and it worked really well.
Yeah.
It was a much different tone and so forth, but it was people speaking, not necessarily eloquently, but very thoughtfully, even if it was crazy. And that was pretty damn cool. Let's see. I think sort of my other standouts were, I loved, one of my favorite parts is the, what was her name? The black revolutionary leader, not the guy, but the girl.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who becomes like totally like start, she takes that sort of revolutionary fire and and starts speaking like a network executive.
Yeah, no, she just becomes like a screenwriter, right? I mean, like it was ridiculous. Yeah.
I thought that was just this really cool turn of a character. Like, and she did
that
it
was
so
a turn
well.
Of like, a movie too. I thought like that scene threw me off a little bit, but sorry. Go ahead.
There were a few scenes that threw me off.
It does jerk around a little, I think, you know, where you're like, what? Oh, okay. But
like, what story are we watching here? You know, yeah, like, there's a couple of those.
The tone was fairly consistent until now, and now it's totally different, and we're back to the normal one.
So now we're talking about a romance between these two, and now we're talking about some weird show. And
there's a lot of shit going on, and it feels like you could argue maybe would it be better if things were streamlined, but I still, once you sort of, I don't know, I still liked all of these things. I was like interested once I was like, oh, okay, this is interesting.
Yeah.
And go along with it. So I didn't mind it, I don't think. Maybe the movie feels a lot less coherent, but I see your point. I mean, that's definitely the movie's like, all right, we're kind of over here now.
I don't think it was so much incoherent. I think it actually prepared me for the end, because if the tone of the movie was like, some parts seemed weirdly, unrealistically comical, like this movie seems very realistic, right? It seems... It's not even
that crazy.
It's
like a satire. It's like a satirical movie that turns into nonfiction.
Right.
Right.
Like back then, it was a, you know, a crazy future planning, I don't know, predictive, this weird world that might exist one day. And now it's totally exists and everything that happens doesn't seem so crazy. And that is crazy. No.
I just wish we still called it The Tube.
Yeah.
When he kept calling it The Tube, I was like, that is the best term for this shit. The Tube. It's all because of The Tube.
Plug into The Tube.
Yeah. So what else is there? Oh, I just, like something I kind of felt over and over in the newsroom. I'm so glad our offices are not nearly as noisy as offices must have used to been when there were typewriters and telephones.
Oh yeah.
True.
And good point. And, you know, telefax machine or whatever it is, whatever those little dot matrix printers are.
Yeah.
But on the downside, it's way harder to fart in the office nowadays.
That's true.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah.
Sure, you can get away with a lot of it then. Yeah.
If you have digestive issues, it would have been better to be in the like, you know, 70s. Yeah.
Indian food only for dinner? I want it for lunch too sometimes. Come on.
Yeah.
Offices.
Yeah. Right.
Well, maybe you should like get your, you know, when you move to your new place, see if they can just start using typewriters. Or maybe like, you know, there's a big fad about mechanical keyboards. So even with computers, you know, so maybe you can just get a bunch of people. You could bring that in and be like, oh, yes, it's what all of us East Coasters are using.
Clack, 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 toot, toot, clack, clack, toot, toot. Yeah.
How about all the screaming in this one?
Yeah, lots of screaming.
Lots of screaming. It was like every major speech was like, be as loud as possible.
Over the top. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm as mad as hell. And I'm not going
Everybody's screaming out the window.
TC, what did you think, TC?
It's awesome. I mean, I hit my mother up immediately. I'm like, I'm watching Network and it's a great flick. And she's like, you don't remember watching that when you were like 10?
She showed it to you when you were 10?
No.
You probably were bored out of your mind.
Exactly. Like, what is this, right? Like, can I watch something else on the tube? It was really good, man. I thought everybody should see this only because... It brings you some sort of perspective on the whole media.
Does
thing.
It? Dude, I'm confused about this movie, man.
It brings a perspective of like, this is really what it is behind the scenes.
But right? It didn't
like,
used to be.
These people talk like this. These people actually talk like this behind the scenes.
We're but not
get
always
50 fucking thing, and we're gonna get this fucking rating, and we're gonna do this and this and this.
There's some people that are doing. I mean, it's like, all right, we're gonna they're gonna be naked and they're gonna be scared, and we're gonna call it scared and naked.
Yeah. That's right.
That's a thing.
It's called Naked and Afraid, John. Come
afraid,
on,
man. Sorry, Naked and Afraid, man. We're gonna put them in the middle of nowhere, and we're just gonna take all their clothes. It's gonna be fantastic.
Right. So, and that's what, you know, reality TV where you're watching, which is something I've always felt bad about. And like we're watching real suffering and. And getting entertained.
It's fake suffering. It's fake suffering. Well, it's real humiliation, but it's fake suffering.
Well,
yeah.
Fair enough, I guess. But they're trying to get as close to real suffering as possible, I think. Like, you know, that's what they want. They're sort of hoping for that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I guess even if it's sort of fakeish, I don't know. But just the idea that that's what you're playing into, that you want it to be real suffering. You're hoping it's real almost as an audience, because then it gives it, then it makes it edgier so you can feel something. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think when TV began, it served as a utility, right? And then eventually it turned over into entertainment.
Right.
And then, you know, they figured out how to, you know, keep the audiences hooked.
Right.
So play into their anger, play into their emotions. Look at the news we watch now, right? It's all playing into the anger. You watch CNN, it's all about anger about Trump. You watch Fox, it's all about anger about Democrats. You watch fucking any other show, there's something angry about it, right? It's crazy.
Yeah.
These kind of echo chambers. And again, I don't know if the movie had like a serious, I mean, it had just lots of ideas in there. A lot of them dark and a lot of them cynical. I'm not sure if it had like a real coherent message, but it just sort of had a tone and just these general ideas that were really interesting to see these people talking about. And I really like that. I don't know if I necessarily want to like think of any of these things as like fully real or exactly the way it is, but it's really,
really
interesting. I think
I don't know. I could, and I, yeah, this is where I'm gonna get into this thing. I don't know. This seems like 80% real, like pretty much.
TC, do you have anything more in the movie first?
Yeah.
Any other thoughts?
I mean, not really. I think, you know, it's pretty well put together composition wise, right? I mean, like, the best shot was probably the one in the, with the lamps.
Yeah.
You guys
noticed those lamps are also in spotlight?
Were they?
Yeah, in the library.
Well, they're
I mean, there's that's a typical. Boston, that's a typical library, like.
Or it could just like be movies like about movies or reporting.
Or they
or
recycled
whatever.
The lamps, right?
Yeah.
No, those lamps. That's the Boston Library. Those lamps are there.
Yeah. The fucking acting was good.
Yeah.
All the way through. All of them were good. It wasn't a bad one.
It was really interesting. I thought she played a very strange character and did it relatively well.
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, fun to watch for sure.
Yeah.
She had a lot of energy. And I was impressed, I think, a lot too about how they memorized their lines so well. I mean, some of those speeches were long.
Rehearsals.
Yeah.
With Sidney Lumet, they do lots of rehearsals before they shoot.
Oh.
Yeah, it's like it's like one or two takes on every single.
Oh, that's badass.
Yeah.
Keeps the day easy.
Yeah.
I don't really have too much else. I mean, I would say you definitely have to go see it if you haven't. Even my roommate came in to. For a few minutes and sat down and stayed for like 15, 20.
I was like,
damn,
whoa.
I got to watch this from the beginning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I watched this with Naomi and she left halfway through. She couldn't take it.
What?
And I totally understand. This movie is like infuriating.
I don't understand that.
You don't, you
I don't get it, Naomi. I don't get it.
You don't get it?
I don't see that's more, it's not
you
more
gotta
infuriating
watch it.
Than real life.
Yeah, you have to watch it.
If no, it's just like a behind the scenes.
You gotta watch
and,
it all the way through.
Yeah, but it's about like the stupid corrupt people that are self-interest
is
ruining the entire
happen,
world.
Because they all go, I can't watch this. And they don't do anything about it. They just turn it off and go away. But then it keeps on going.
No, watching a movie about it won't do anything. If you already know what's going on and you're actually, you know, and you do active things about it as opposed to just stoking the fire.
Stay here, watch it.
Yeah,
be
I don't know.
Pissed.
It's tough. I thought it was a pretty amazing movie too, but it was aggravating. And it's crazy to think that this guy, the Paddy Chayefsky guy, wrote the script by himself.
I also don't think the networks are really existing like that anymore. Because now it's turning over to like Netflix and Amazon. They're still doing the shit, but
no, man, Fox News. You got like Glenn Beck was this kind of guy.
Well, but they're not like they don't have the share like they used to. They don't have like the market share. Like nobody's watching it like that anymore.
Yeah,
you know?
They don't have the almighty power that they sort of used to have. But certainly, like the whole Fox News seems
that's
like
all
a whole
still,
lot of sway, right?
Yeah,
that's all still there.
But plus, it's still not. Even then, the numbers that are like, say, watching Fox News are not the same as like back in the big network days, you know. So
yeah,
but I don't. I disagree, man.
Launch to like do whatever.
Even if that's true, the news has never swayed a presidency like this presidency.
Sure. Well, you haven't had a network that was fully like sided with somebody like this.
Yeah.
I don't think, you know, where they're like completely like,
they're little sort of, stoolies. Sort of, fucking.
Well, you know, it's not quite that. It's like one feeds the other, you know, it's not even, it's like they help each other kind of, you know, it's like they both are like pushing in the same direction and then they tell each other what to say almost. It's not even, it's not just like a one way thing. I think it's like they're working together for their own ends. But yeah.
Yeah.
It's, yeah.
Yeah. Sorry. I feel like I'm pushing this discussion in a way you guys don't want to go, but I don't
know. I mean, it's not that I don't want to go. I don't know if I felt like that when I was watching it.
Really?
I'm so used to it. I'm so like.
Finish talking about the movie too first, Kenny. Do you have anything else to add about the movie? And then we can go into this more.
Yeah. I mean, I every single time I could kind of see, you know, the crazy speeches the guy spoke were so well written that they made sense to me. You know, I was kind of like, yeah. Hell yeah. Like, right. I would have gone out to the window and yelled out the window. And even when
I would have at least listened.
Yeah. Would have listened, would have watched. Be like, yo, this guy's got some pretty interesting ideas here. And even like the Ned Beatty character, the fat guy in the library, when he was talking, I was like, I can see where he might be coming from. Like, this is, you know, it's, I felt manipulated too.
Right.
It's like, you guys are idiots. Like, what do you don't think that you really are doing this for any purpose, right? Like, we're making this happen on purpose to make money.
Right.
What's wrong with you people? Yeah.
And it's just amazing, too, thinking like, you know, Fanny and Alexander, you can, you know, a topic like life and death and stuff like that, you can write about whenever and it'll be topical. Like, that's
it'll
a period
true.
Piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is a movie about technology and it's writing about technology mostly, and it's still as relevant as, it's more relevant now probably than it was back then because it can be more directly related to like, what exactly it's talking about. Like back then it was probably a lot of like fantasy and satire, but now it's just like, he's talking about this. What the fuck? So that's like, that's crazy.
There's like this trivia that like George, they were planning to do some kind of live television event, like network. And George Clooney was like showing this to kids or teenagers, high schoolers, and they didn't see it as satire at all.
Right. I could see that for sure.
Yeah.
And that was kind of
amazing.
It was
a documentary. It's almost like a documentary.
Why are they using such like, grainy cameras. They could, you know, use a digital. Oh, they had digital cameras?
How come Glenn Beck isn't on the show? Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't throw him in there. Yeah.
Was this after Glenn Beck got kicked off Fox? No?
Yeah. Was this when Bill O'Reilly was kicked out?
Yeah.
No? Shit. I'd have to say, I do like the film look. I do kind of miss it. It just looks nice. Doesn't it? Soft.
For this one and also for Dog Day Afternoon, it gives it like a documentary type of feel.
Yep.
Which is very important to the entire feel.
Archival footage, like.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. It is. It gives that sense of, and this one, again, this has sort of a fantastical element to it in terms of the way the dramatics and the speeches and stuff. And even though they're really good, it's like, you know, normally people aren't that eloquent.
But don't you think
that
this also, there's a really good excuse for this movie because a lot of the speeches happen when people would normally give speeches, you know, like on TV or on a podium. Stuff like that.
Or during a pitch, right?
Yeah. But it still is, I think it's this great combination because I still feel like I like that part of it, even though like the reality of the way people work and so forth is very true. It's like that's kind of what's happened to a lot of, not just network television, but just entertainment, right? That's just, you do what you can to get like the most people to watch you. That's the goal, right? That's your job. That's
shock value.
So
and even if that's not your main goal, you still have to like, you know, credible news sites have to balance like, okay, we want to report the truth, but we need money. So we still need people to come to our site. So like, what do we do to balance that if no one wants to listen to the boring real stuff?
And for a while it was thought, I guess, with news that that's okay. It would lose money, but it's something that you do as an established network and something that people expect from you. And that's going away to where now it's like, no, everybody needs to make money and have ratings and everything like that. So now it doesn't matter. So it's like,
and plus you don't need credentials anymore. You got fucking Alex Jones spitting into a microphone.
Oh no, no, you don't need.
Oh, I know that dummy.
Yeah, and maybe even like with the Netflix and of the world and so forth, where there's even more competition now. That pushes the needle even further in terms of getting desperate and doing whatever it takes to keep the viewers. Right.
Right.
So you could even see that like that more competition is sort of like furthering kind of some of this craziness.
The president is the president, so there's no bar anymore. You can do whatever the hell you want and it'll be fine.
Right? Yeah. I mean, at one point in time, people were watching people die inside of an arena with tigers and shit.
Too, yeah. Well, right? There's, I mean, that, like, too.
Everybody great, also wanted, they, everyone wants to be entertained, and however it ends up happening to keep the fucking people going is.
Right.
Is where we're at now.
Or you can, yeah, go to hanging. You can go
a hanging. Oh yeah,
there you go. You're just a gladiator day.
They're gonna burn, I mean, some Roman witches. Stuff. Let's watch, I mean, some human, Jesus, beings burn alive. That sounds,
yeah,
like fun,
right? Yeah. Did you, hey, see the thing on the pole? They're gonna burn a witch at 9.
Yeah.
I'll be down there. Tune in.
Oh, man, tune in.
What the pole? What the pole say today?
Well, the pole says they're burning 4 more witches.
Ooh, sweet. I love the pole.
Yeah. I love the poll. Yeah, we can go get your news at the poll. All right. So, I don't know.
So it's a good point. I mean, there's been, you know, I mean, you can look back on Gladiator.
The
days
mediums have changed, pretty, but I think humans have always been trying to be entertained in some fashion, right, other than just getting the news.
Yeah.
Right.
But it sucks that now, I mean, at the same time, so it is crazy how none of us lived back then. You know, right, none of us were aware when this movie came out. We didn't have an idea what the situation was like, any of that stuff. This movie had relevance at the time. It seems like, mm-hmm, it might, according to all the news articles written nowadays, more relevant now. But at, yep, the same time, the fact that it was written back then, it kind of makes me feel like I'm conflicted because this movie scares me that this guy predicted all this stuff, but this stuff always happens. It seems like, and, yeah, it's never stopped happening.
It happens. If it's not on TV, it's on in some other medium.
Right. It's newspapers. It's, you know, now it's the internet.
Right. Right. Yeah. Now it's Reddit and stupid shit like, yeah, that.
And it can start out like Reddit could start out as something interesting or actually start out kind of bad because like jailbait was like one of the most popular subreddits, like subreddit of the year. And then it got credibility, I think. Ugh. Now it's thought of as a far right organization or site just because of
the Donald,
all of the people there. Yeah. But, so that's a really good point though, Denny. I think it, you can see it two ways. Like on one hand, I think it was, how was it? Aaron Sorkinson? Aaron Sorkin, one, yep, of the
guy who wrote
directors,
the Social Network.
Right. He just said he thought this was like the most predictive piece of art that he knows of.
Yeah.
You know, in terms of being able to like see the future. I think that was a very insightful quote too. And but your point, Denny, which is also sort of interesting to think of, is that this is an ongoing cycle with media and entertainment.
Is it even a cycle or is it just the same thing all the time?
It could be this, I don't know, but it's like it just might be a combination of factors, you know, just depending upon how much power the medium has and who's running it, but then how much competition there is. And then what sort of happens is a lot of money gets involved. Mm. And then, I mean, just sort of, it's like a process probably. And I don't know if you'd call it a cycle then, but there's these things that happen as a lot of people start paying attention to something. You know, where and you get paid for it.
I don't
and
know, then, like a podcast.
And then, yeah, and then you got to figure out how you get more people to pay attention to you. And then if you get a whole bunch of people.
You get Timmy Buckles on there, right? Yeah, and he starts yelling, yeah, and then all of a sudden, right, we're the fucking network.
Hey, yeah, you start yelling about gay frogs, Timmy, and you might get some audience members.
Yeah, that's right. They'll get pissed.
Yeah, once you get a lot of people, then you got to keep those people. And then you get really upset when you start losing those people. And then you push yourself to do more things. I don't know.
So, jotting down right now. Gay frogs.
Yeah.
Underline. Okay, copy. Got it.
Anyway, so those are good points, Danny. I think it's
Thank you.
But that makes it even more fascinating that here's a relatively, it's not like TC old movie, but it's relatively old.
I'm wondering too, but I didn't care as much about the politics because I'm kind of on the other side. I'm like on this side of the spectrum, right? Like I worked in
You're on the spectrum?
Broadcast.
You just admit to it?
Well, yeah, I'm definitely on the spectrum.
Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the spectrum for sure, but I've worked in broadcast. I've worked in media.
That's true.
Now I'm in a studio. It's like—
You're on the inside.
I'm on the other side. I'm the guy. I'm the one, you know, I'm just not the content guy, so I don't feel as guilty, but I guess it wasn't shocking to me. This was like, this happens.
You're one of the guys that wasn't paying attention when he told everybody that he was going to kill himself.
Oh, and I loved that part.
Yeah, that was so
real, right? Like you get so stuck in your little world when you're working on those things. You're like, you're not paying attention to the show at that point.
He just said he was going to kill himself.
What?
He just said he was going to shoot himself in the head. What are you talking
about?
No,
he didn't.
He just said on the air, exactly, he's going to kill himself.
Yeah.
There's two people out of 10.
Are you not watching this right now?
Yeah, this movie was pretty cool.
You know what's funny is I thought I was confused because I could have sworn someone did kill themselves on the air once, and I was
they
thought
did.
That's what this was referring
no,
to. But
did.
This
like
isn't it. It was totally separate.
Before
yeah.
was I thought it was before this was came out though, because people were saying this was inspired by it, but then other people said no, it wasn't inspired by it. It was being written before this news network person committed suicide on air. And there was recently a movie, I think a Netflix movie or two movies on this, where she was depressed and she killed herself on air.
Christina Chubbuck.
Wow.
This is a different one. So there's one more recently too, but 1944, Christine Chubbuck was an American television news reporter who worked for WTOG, WXLT TV in Florida. She is known for being the first person to commit suicide on a live television broadcast.
Oof.
Oy. Ah. That happened recently too, so.
Poor thing, man. That's just unfortunate. Like, ugh.
Brutal.
Jesus. Wah, wah, wah.
Womp, womp.
Oh, God. I'm putting up the video right now.
Oh, don't do it.
Ooh. Oh, no, no, don't do that. Let's not watch that.
Oh, Jesus, it went right to fucking black. Oh, boy, that's brutal.
You just watched it?
It's happening. Oh, it's all happening.
God damn it. Why,
oh,
TC?
Oh, God. Oh, fuck that. Oh, poor woman. Oh, that's sad.
God damn it. Why would you do that to yourself?
Shit. Because, I mean, it's just like I am. I said I'm a masochist. I want to see these things. I don't know why. I mean, this is a fucked up topic, right? Because, I mean, I feel like media drives people to feel this way, right? Like, it's depressing. And
so let's talk about,
like,
did you feel for the people in the media? That was one of the parts I felt a disconnect in.
Fuck no.
Yeah,
I was feel like, for them.
Yeah.
They're scumbags.
Like, why? What
and,
exactly
he, and the guy was a scumbag when he hit on the girl. And he's like, you want to go to dinner? Right? It's like the typical Hollywood story right now. Fucking.
But she was attracted to him, right? I think.
I know. Yeah, that's the weirdest part. So then you got to think like, well, that's weird. Like it worked.
Yeah.
So sometimes it works. Point. Sometimes it's fucking harassment. Sometimes what the fuck?
Yeah. Some people do like star fuckers. That's a real thing. Like they're not.
Oh, yeah.
But they're
Absolutely.
Also crazy. So then they might turn around and call rape. But at the same time, a lot of those people rape people. So it's like.
Yeah. So it's like there's no damned if you do. You damned if you don't. I mean, everybody just keep it to fucking themselves. And I think it'll be all right. I guess that's the next wave of thought. But anyways, I mean, you can see all these little facets of these modern elements of, you know, gender and lifestyle and weird jobs like media and broadcasting. It's nothing's changed. It's all still moseying along like before. So
it's just pushing the little, it always changes, but the thing,
I mean, the fundamentals are still there, even
the
though
fundamentals
we've changed like how it gets to us.
That you want to push the boundary to keep the attention. And that's the part that always happens. So whatever the boundary pushing stuff was back in the 70s is different than what it is now, but it's still the stuff grabbing attention and ruining everything.
Right. I ruining everything. I don't know. Ruining everything. Fuck it. I mean, let's just say
I don't know.
It's just ruining everything.
I don't know. I mean, that's one of the other ideas of the film where, you know, that like Faye Dunaway's character is described as being this, the TV generation where they don't really feel anything and
that's
they don't
the millennials
think for themselves
now.
And, I guess, but that's a running commentary on the, you know, from the older generation to the younger.
Of the young crowd,
always like going on in life, whenever you start making accusations towards the younger people, you're like, God damn it, now I'm just an old person. Like my opinion does not matter anymore. The teens will listen.
What you're doing is complaining.
Well, back in my day, we had free pornography. Now it costs $10 a month to get a Pornhub subscription. That's bullshit.
Does it?
I mean, it will. No!
Oh, really, Danny? Tell us more.
Net neutrality, man. Pornhub's going to be an extra $10. You thought it was free?
No, you're going to get a little thing from Time Warner. Unfortunately, you do not have access to the premium content. It costs $200 to get it.
It'll show up on your credit card as Pornhub with arrows pointing towards it.
People will be just like going into debt instead of doing cocaine. They'll be just doing porn.
They used to be able to do both, but they had to, half the people had to pick one and they had to split.
$200 a night on porn, man. This guy's got a problem.
But so another point, I mean, one point you make about the movie that I hadn't really thought about is like, it's which is sort of, again, different, say, than like Fanny and Alexander's. I don't really care about the characters. And yet to make a movie where you don't necessarily care about the characters and it's still very interesting to watch is kind of an accomplishment.
Yeah.
True.
You care about nobody? Yeah, I guess.
I mean, there wasn't anybody.
Yeah,
that's
true.
I mean, was there one character
I
cared about?
I didn't hate anybody because I liked watching all of them.
Yeah. I felt bad for the kid watching the TV in the fired newsman's home. Right? His daughter, where she was sitting there and she's laughing. And that's really what happens, right? Like, there's all this weird, crappy bullshit going on these TV shows. And like younger generations who don't quite understand life yet, haven't left the house, still living with mom and dad.
Yeah.
They just kind of laugh at it, right? And then before they know it, they're entrenched in this world. And it's like, they're so desensitized to it that it just keeps on hitting them in the face. And they're just like, eh, is it funny? And then every once in a while, someone will sway completely over and they go nuts. And they go nuts and they're totally in. They're like, oh, CNN's fake news. Fox is fucking the only truth. And then you read that Fox is like actually allowed to not tell the truth by law now, yeah. You know, and it's like, nobody's paying attention because it's kind of funny, I guess. I don't know. And you got Alex Jones out there. How are you supposed to take that? I mean, that's hilarious. But is it?
It's terrifying. It's fucked
up. Yeah.
And the funny thing is, too, like, Alex Jones does it, like, the end of this movie when Howard's body is on the ground and they have, like, the, hey, Mikey, I think he likes it, life commercial and, like, car commercials and stuff. Right. That's what Alex Jones does.
Yeah.
Where he's like, we're all going to die. The world's coming to an end. Buy my supplements. Buy my supplements. Oh, their frogs are turning gay by drinking the water.
Yeah.
Supplements.
There's aliens. They're coming.
Yeah, I wonder if Sidney Lumet does this in almost all his films somehow. He ends with this a kind of audio crescendo like he did in Dog Day Afternoon with the jet engines. And here with the network overlaps.
Yeah.
I got to see more of this guy's films now.
We only got one more on the list, but it is number 5.
Oh, not for a long time.
Not for a long time.
Ooh, that's why. Yeah, Jesus. That's a few years.
But he did Serpico too, right? I think.
Yeah, I want to see that.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I'm surprised you haven't seen that.
Before the Devil Knows You're Dead, which is
a
Philip Seymour Hoffman film.
Oh, yeah. Philip Seymour Hoffman, shit.
Ethan Hawke is in that.
Marissa
Tomei.
That was
like that one he did like not too long ago.
Yeah, that was one of his last ones.
No, yeah, that was recent, right before he died,
2007, so now I want to see that one.
It might have been his last
one. Orient Express. That one's getting remade.
Already did. Bombed.
Oh, yeah, right? Oh, did it? Oh, it already came and went? Holy cow.
Oh, yeah. Johnny Depp dragging another one down.
Poor Johnny.
Ooh, another one bites the Johnny dust. Copy that.
But you were talking about Aaron Sorkin. He actually said when he won for The Social Network, he said, the first thing he said during his acceptance speech was, thank you. It's impossible to describe what it feels like to be handed the same award that was given to Paddy Chayefsky 35 years ago for another movie with Network in the title.
Ah.
So yeah, that was like the first name drop of his little thing.
He went for writing, I guess,
best screenplay.
For The Social Network?
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. That's pretty sweet. So it's kind of the same thing where he like idolized this guy and then wrote another movie about, you know, Network's about TV, Social Network's about the internet. It's like the same thing.
Yep.
And it won Best Picture.
Kind of.
Crazy.
I mean, The Social Network seems to be much more about one guy and his personality from what I remember. It was a great movie.
But I mean,
I really liked the
ending result of Facebook right now, they've done studies that says it's destroying the fabric of society. So it's the new medium instead of the network televisions. You've got Facebook now.
That's when the old people got on the internet.
They got all sorts of news on there, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. There's like this American Life episode, which was really disturbing, where there's these like early teen girls, like, I don't know, 11 or 12. And they just talk about the impact of social media for them, where they like have to put pictures up on Instagram or whatever. And then their friends have to like them. And if they don't get so many likes, they feel bad about themselves. And then you're not somebody else's friend if you don't like their pictures. And it's kind of a, it's a frightening thing to think of,
the
like
sad state of affairs.
Of
yeah. Well, again, we're old. This might just, you know, there are other things when we were young that also sucked that our parents didn't understand. And they were like, that's horrible. Why does that exist?
Those damn video games.
Yeah, I am.
Whatever.
I'm going to throw that machine out
the
window.
Who are they talking to on
Don't
there?
Do it.
Yeah, do it. You bought it. Dummy.
Yeah.
Throw it.
I see why you're beaten a lot when you're a kid.
Yeah, me? Yeah, because I'd say shit like that, dude, all the time. Ow, yeah, I mean, all right, you bought it. It's not my problem. Fucking toss it. I don't care. Yeah. Spoiled little brat, entitled little fucker. Yeah, seriously.
It's interesting.
Let's talk about the humor in the movie for a minute. You guys think this movie was pretty funny?
Sometimes, yeah.
Sometimes.
I thought so.
Yeah, there was a couple parts, like, I laughed pretty damn hard when I figured out what was going on during that Faye Dunaway like foreplay scene where they're like kind of driving together and she's talking about the news.
Stop talking about the ratings.
And like they kept cutting to different scenes.
Oh, that was so bad. I would have told her to shut the fuck up.
It was fucking hilarious.
Right? Like, I was just like, tell her to shut up.
As soon as I realized what happened, like what was happening in that scene, I was like, this is pretty funny. Like she's like sucking on his fingers and just talking about the news. And then they're banging and she's going
she
at like 1,000 miles a minute. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then she finally orgasms and lays down. And then start
talking
seconds, about the news.
Too. Yeah. I know. How good was that?
Yeah, impressive bit of acting too, because that's like to rattle off like that and to have to do the acting that she was doing. It's
I was laughing pretty hard.
That was really
it was pretty good.
The ending too. So, funny, I'm not gonna lie. One of the scenes, I think the first scene, and think about this while I'm describing this. So I'm thinking about the scene where the first time in the movie, I was kind of in like a mood for the movie. I was like, all right, this movie has this kind of tone where it's kind of realistic, but it's sort of funny. There was one scene that almost seemed entirely comedic and satirical that did not match with the rest of the movie. It might've been a little over halfway through. I don't know if you guys had like the first scene where that, like there was a jolt of different kind of movie for you. But the one for me was when they were doing the interview in the basement with the radicals and they were reading the papers and the guy like fires, like the one radical woman was arguing about syndication. And then like the, to get order, the guy fires his gun up in the air and he's like, let's get back to reading through these documents or whatever the hell. And I was like, this is straight script. Airplane or, you know, some comedy movie, you know, Naked Gun or something like that.
No, I thought it was really funny. No, I was just loving how I just love the idea of like these terrorists turning into like, you know, negotiating.
TV guys.
Yeah.
I think no. Negotiating a pay.
That point is so amazing that I thought it was kind of, I agree. It's sort of like, it's a little ludicrous. You know, I mean, it's ludicrous that they're ending up, that's like even, you know, necessarily going to happen so directly, even nowadays, like that they would, that sort of relationship could occur and nobody's going to be like, you know, they're killing people and kidnapping people. We probably shouldn't be giving them money, you know?
Yeah.
But
those TV shows exist too. There was that show with Durst. You ever see that documentary with, was it Robert Durst? Is that his name? Either of you see that?
Oh, yeah. Uh-uh. Yeah, I did.
Fuck, what was that called?
Look it up.
He had a documentary on himself, and if you haven't seen it, see it.
The Jinx.
The Jinx. The Jinx is
an HBO thing. Yeah, The Jinx.
Like, one of the best documentaries of all time, and it's the same kind of thing where, you know, they shouldn't be paying this guy to be in it, pretty much.
Did he get paid to be in it?
Yeah, it was about him.
He got paid to be in it?
Of course he did. It was a documentary on him.
Wait a second. So you don't get paid for documentaries?
Sure you do. If you have a documentary being made on you and you have to be there and stuff.
Oh, I guess he was interviewed, huh?
Yeah.
Huh.
Route. Yeah, well, yeah, probably. Yeah, he's getting paid. Interesting. For that. He's definitely not showing up for free.
Right.
Although with some of these weirdos, you never know. They're eager to get back on TV and never fucking know.
Just be like, hey, we're making a documentary. Can we interview? Sure. I'd love to talk
about you. I'd love to. I'd love to get back in the limelight for my weird shit.
Yeah, maybe. But that is true. I don't know.
I'm
going to
look
it up.
I'm sure it's online. Okay, let's find out. Let's find out.
But that's kind of the same thing where, I mean, there's, you know, that HBO documentary series, the hell is it called? Vice. You guys ever watch Vice? They talk to terrorists. They have to like blot their faces out. There are reporters that do know terrorists because the terrorists do want to like use the reporters to get their opinions across. So that that crap totally exists.
There's something a little bit. It's not like you'd have a syndicated TV show opening up with, you know, where it's a regular thing of video footage. But, you know, I'm sure that those kinds of relationships kind of exist a little less directly.
Yeah, it's a mutual, like the HBO is getting money for it and the terrorists are getting to spout their craziness on the TV. So I guess there might probably just isn't money crossing hands. I don't know. Are there laws against that? I have no idea. There probably aren't.
I'm just guessing. It's a good question.
Yeah. I thought the worst acting of the, again, really good acting in this movie. I thought the worst acting was when they were drunk in the beginning.
Oh.
What do you guys think?
Oh, yeah.
I'll defer to your expertise.
I thought the story was funny. Not going to lie. Yeah.
No, it's just the old timey like,
don't do it, buddy. Don't do it, buddy.
Yeah.
Just got, you know, hold your gut and laugh.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not like old timey drunk. I don't know.
Yeah.
Didn't seem
very
realistic to me.
That's right. What should they have done? I don't know. What was like the different, like?
Less. Like they seemed like they knew they were on camera, less exaggerated. They seemed very slow in their movements. When you're drunk, you know, gravity's not your friend. You're not like, you're not lighter. It looks like they're people when they act drunk, they get like lighter. Their arms are like floaty and crap. That's not the case. Mm-hmm. You're like, you're fighting against gravity.
You should hire yourself out.
Just for like, study me. I'd be like a lion for the Lion King. Sorry, draw him. I'm just in the front, just stumbling around.
Have you worked with Denny Kennedy?
Yeah.
You should go work with him.
You must know him because you kind of look like him when you're drunk.
Yeah. Speaking of drinking, this is back in the times where you could drink before going to work or during work. What the hell?
Yeah, nice.
Nice.
Cocktail hour.
Yeah, lunchtime.
Cocktail lunches.
Yeah. What happened to that? Too much grab ass, I think, probably.
Yeah, right. Literally.
Not coming back for lunch.
What'd you guys think of Robert Duvall? Haven't talked about him yet, really.
He was pretty good. Typical Duvall, yeah. Though. Just yelling and screaming.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, typical, like, serious guy.
Typical, like, what? Timer. The only other movie I've seen him do this in was, like, Apocalypse Now, and that's it.
In The Godfather, that's what I was thinking. He was subdued all the time. He was more, like, restrained in The Godfather.
Okay.
But he was the concierge, right?
I have no idea. Yes. I do not know The Godfather.
I might be getting confused. Anyway, we'll know in a couple years.
Yeah. I thought it was, so was this before or after Dog Day Afternoon? Question I'm going to ask while looking it up.
Dog Day Afternoon was 75.
This is before. Okay, cool. So that's what I thought. When they were doing that kind of guerrilla footage, behind the scenes footage of the bank robbery, I was like, I bet they use their skills for realistic bank robberies for this little part here. Because, you know, same guy.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Because they kind of had the same vibe, like the same camera placement and stuff.
They did. Yeah.
This is the part where I'm going through my notes, you guys. Interrupt me.
Okay.
I'm just going to read
it. I'm not seeing anything about Robert Durst getting paid for that, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, I couldn't find anything for that free. Either.
Would they want to bury that? Does that have to be public information?
Well, you're right.
You would think someone would leak it eventually.
Maybe not. I don't know.
I mean, he was sued directly after by other people, and there was no money. So if you figure if he made good money off of that, they would get their money from the show.
Yeah, and also he's filthy rich, right?
Well,
he owns like half of New York or something.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he's like not as rich now, but he was. I mean, for a while, he was just getting like $2 million a year from the family trust. But he reached a settlement in 2006 where he got around $60 million. So, yeah, I mean, he's got dough. So,
yeah.
I don't know. That's an interesting one. I'll have to look into that further. But there was nothing immediately like, oh, Robert Durst paid per episode.
Right. Yeah. John, you haven't seen that? Sounds like that online.
No.
Don't read about it.
Must watch.
If you don't know about it, watch it.
Watch.
It's unbelievable.
Okay. Is it better than making a murderer?
What did
the
you
other
do?
One
better, yeah. better.
It's very similar in that though. It's very similar tone.
And the
one about the priests too. That one was good as well.
Yeah, I would say that this one is the Jinx is better than both of those personally. I think just because the making of the documentary changed the documentary pretty much.
We won't go further than that for Johnny Boy. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I got a question about Howard. What's up with Howard? Is he just crazy? What's going on there? Like, he talks to himself at night.
I thought he was just crazy.
Yeah, I thought he was kind of losing his mind. I just sort of went with that.
Are people that coherent when they're crazy?
I mean, yeah.
Are people that coherent at all? I mean,
he is coherent as all
the other people in this movie? Oh, no, I know. I'm just saying, like, he's incredibly eloquent in what he's saying when he says the things he says. I think that it's not usually.
Okay, so you think he's just crazy, but I had another question because it seemed to me like he was acting a lot of the parts because he kind of related to the guy who was acting for him and the guy told him he was acting for him. But he would also faint at the end of all of his shows. Mm-hmm. Was that part of the act? Because I think there's at least a little part.
Didn't seem like it.
Yeah, it seemed like he'd just get himself so worked up he'd pass out. Yeah, I don't know. This movie's kind of on the edge when it's satire and all this funny stuff's going on anyway. To some extent, it's like, okay.
Yeah.
I'm not really like, again, trying to think realistically about his condition. It serves a purpose for the film and it works really well within you know, sort of the context of what the film kind of wants to do. And he does it really well. He does it amazingly well.
Yeah.
I think it is really interesting, the combination of like this craziness and eloquence that he has. That's what they want. I mean, that's the thing though, is then it's like, yeah, I'd watch that. Wouldn't you watch that? Wouldn't you tune in to watch this guy?
I mean, definitely would. Mm-hmm. It was the most entertaining part of the movie. I don't know if you guys have read who won awards for this, but if you were to guess, there are three acting awards for this movie that it won. Best actors. Who would you guess won?
I know the one that won that was a big surprise.
Oh, you do?
So I'll let TC play the game.
TC, play the game. Woman. Sorry, what?
I don't know. The woman.
The lead
What's
woman.
Her name? Faye or something?
Faye Dunaway, The crazy guy.
Another one?
Crazy guy.
Oh, the crazy guy?
Crazy guy. That's good. He deserved it.
Yeah.
Okay.
If I were to give you a hint and say she only had 5 minutes of screen, she only had 5 minutes of screen time.
Not the one in the beginning.
No.
Just give it to me. I got nothing.
I couldn't guess this either. It's the redheaded wife of the boss news guy.
Yep.
Oh, no shit, huh?
Yeah.
Who's she? Who is she important? Why was she important outside of the movie? She must have been.
Good point. That's a good point.
Yeah, like, why would they give her that much unless she was important? Because, I mean, no, that she didn't do shit besides have a few scenes and then that one with the at the table.
She's more of a well-known stage actress, maybe.
Oh.
She was surprised by that.
Yeah, me too, actually. And this year was a good year for movies. This movie lost to Rocky, Best Picture.
I could see that.
Huh. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was all the media, man. It was the fake news, man. They were just out there trying to bury it, man.
Well, it was fake news. It was all about, they tried to make Rocky turn into like this like scrappy guy. Stallone makes this movie when in reality, it might have been a little bit more of a regular Hollywood sort of thing. But anyway, yeah.
Yes.
There you go. See?
Yes.
But I would have, when I was reading like, oh yeah, so-and-so won the Oscar, even though she had a small amount of screen time, I actually thought it was going to be, what's her name? Marlene Warfield, who played Lorraine Hobbs. So that was the black activist.
Oh.
I thought she was fantastic.
She was really good. She's kind of one note though, but the note was very good.
I know, but what was cool is it was like one note being activist and then one note being like moving into like asshole, you know.
Yeah, she had the one note to be like opposed to the deal, the one note to be very much for the deal. And then at the end, she was so one note that Faye Dunaway's character was like on the phone ignoring her as she spouted off the same stuff right behind her pretty much.
But she was great. I really enjoyed when she was on screen. So that's why I was like, oh, I bet it's her, but no.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, I think that's all I have for like movie notes and stuff. Do you guys have anything else to talk about in the movie itself?
Not really.
No, I think though that's, I really like, I'm going to remember that scene with Ned Beatty for a while, I think. And because like when that started, I was like, oh, this is good.
Yeah.
You when he started will talking, atone.
I thought, I was like, yeah, this is so cool. I really loved that part.
Yeah. Yeah, that was what I was surprised too, because after all the Howard speeches, I was like, wow, Howard's the best. Whoa, who's this guy? This guy's even better than Howard.
Exactly. That's what, and that must have been.
And the way he snaps
that's
back,
Rupert
he's like,
Murdoch
am I getting through to you?
Real life or something, right?
Yeah. It's like, Rupert this Murdoch. Is, no, it's what was so amazing. And yeah, he like, they had to set it up this way. It's like, all right, Howard's going to be like this. You've got to be even better.
Yeah.
Just for this moment. And yeah, and to switch the way he did, like you said, you know, so he's like, all right, so we're going to go, let's go in here. It seems like a better place for it. Here, like,
close the curtain, dim the lights.
Go in nice and calm. And what the fuck?
And he even tells him, he's like, I'm going to try to sell you on something.
Yeah.
He's completely transparent. And like, he's yelling at him. And then he gets like, he's like, am I getting through to you? And then he talks normal. And then he gets really quiet. And he's like, the world will be serene. And just like gets really like calming. And then the guy's just mouth open staring at him, totally sold with being like, this guy knows what he's talking about.
I would have been scared shitless.
Yeah.
But then he, you know, to be able to say, to be able to like reproduce his epiphany moment, right? You know, like I'm talking to you because you're on TV.
Dummy. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought, yeah, that was really good.
Yeah. A speech that probably wouldn't happen in real life because it would require way too much talent to do.
Right.
Yeah. So yeah, I got a couple things in the commentary. I watched it. Wouldn't recommend it. He doesn't really.
It's too bad. I wanted to hear Sydney talk.
It's nice to hear Sydney talk
or something or what.
I just don't think he's a good commentator. So he there's one part where he's like, I'm not going to ruin the ending for you if this is the first time you've watched it. I'm like, there's nobody watching this with the commentary on, listening to you right now. So he doesn't understand the audience of commentaries.
Oh,
so.
That like you might not have. Like, yeah, why would you not have watched it before watching the commentary?
Yeah.
Right.
There were a lot of parts where he's like, oh, coming up, there's a really good scene. It's like one of my favorite parts where he says this to her and he just says that. All right, here it is. And then he just goes quiet. And then the scene happens. You're like, God damn it, I already saw the fucking movie, Sydney. What are you doing?
Yeah. Tell us something about this part.
Commentary. Probably has no idea how people watch commentaries. They're like, hey, you got to do this. This is what all the kids do now. All right.
I mean, really, there might be some film classes where they have the commentary on while they're showing the first time, like really bad film classes just to confuse the kids.
Not a chance.
Yeah, I would agree because that would be a horrible way to watch a movie the first time. That would
be a horrible way to teach people how to watch a movie.
Yeah. That too.
Like, hey, you should not just sit there silently. You should listen to this guy talk and miss
over
all the
movie?
Good stuff. Like,
and also try to figure out what's going on.
People would lose their fucking minds if that was being taught. Are you kidding me? Like, what the fuck are we here for if you're just going to talk over the whole movie?
Yeah. So, all right. So, Patty Chayefsky was the screenwriter on this movie. He I think he set the record or tied for the most screenplays ever won Oscars for, written by one person, at 3.
Oh, nice.
And he was on set every day. He was in the cutting room floor. He was a very heavy part in making this movie. And Sidney Lumet really, like, if there was one thing to take away from the commentary, is that this guy is the reason this movie is so good. And that's not hard to believe, because it's like a dialogue-heavy movie sort of thing.
Yep.
It's all there really
Especially
is.
Speech-heavy.
Speech-heavy, yeah.
Yeah, not just, yeah.
Very speech-heavy, yeah.
Yeah. So in terms of the screenwriting, the studio that was producing this movie was worried on his script that there was a lot of technical jargon in there that the audience wouldn't understand. And he went back and defended himself and won by saying that they wouldn't understand, but they would understand that the jargon was accurate and real.
You
know?
Right.
It's like, you don't need to know what it means.
You don't need to know it to hear it, to be like, that's TV jargon.
Right. All that stuff.
But you know, it's part of the
50p share, whatever the fuck they were saying. Yeah. 50 share.
It's like, why would you know this? Because you're not a part of this industry, but this is what they would say. Which would definitely, like, if they had to make up, like, oh, the people watching numbers are pretty high today. And you're like, yep, that would ruin the entire movie.
Well, the talkies are doing pretty well out there today, folks.
We're trying to get a broad audience here.
I mean, yeah, it's genuine enough where you're not going to question it anyways, because nobody gives a fuck. Like, it's a very small amount of people in the world that are like, I want to go work at TV.
Yeah.
Can't wait to work in broadcast.
Yeah. When Faye Dunaway got hired, he walked up to her and said, I know you're going to ask me, and I'm going to tell you right now, don't give this character any compassion, because she doesn't have any. If I see you trying to slip in, I'm going to put it on the cutting room floor.
Wow.
So that was the character. I mean, him and the screenwriter are very good friends, and they, you know, they developed these characters in the back, and they knew they needed this person to be a cold, bitter TV generation news reporter. So, and apparently that conveyed it very well for Faye as well. So I thought that was kind of good direction, I guess.
I didn't hate her, right?
Did you not?
I mean, I kind of did.
She's evil.
Did you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's evil, man.
I don't know.
Selfish.
I just saw her as just obsessed.
Right, but she's selfish. She just has no emotions. Yeah, she doesn't care about, like, the damage she's doing to the entire world.
No, she just wants to succeed. She just wants to succeed. That's it. Yeah. Nothing else really matters. She just wants to be the best at what she's doing, and that's all.
And, like, the weird child, when she was in front of all those people.
Why did I know? I feel bad that I didn't hate her. Sorry.
Do you feel bad?
No.
But, I think it's cool that they, it's good that there are, you know, varying emotions towards her. It would be weirder if everyone hated her, I guess. I don't know.
Well, I didn't love her either, but, I mean, I just, I don't know. I don't know.
I would say she was extremely entertaining to watch, just like the bad news programming that this movie portrays.
Yeah, I agree with that.
This movie was filmed all in New York, on location, I guess. Mm-hmm. Even the interiors were on location. All the backgrounds through the office buildings were real backgrounds in New York City. The one exception for that was the news studio, which was in Canada, because all the news stations couldn't rent out their space in New York for the 2 weeks this movie required.
Of course.
Yeah. But yeah, it's crazy because that impacted the plotting of the movie. The scene where they're arguing about firing the main news guy, it's pouring rain outside and they're in an office building. It's pouring rain. That's real rain. The scenes they're cutting back and forth with, they had to create fake rain in those scenes. So everybody was in rain. So that's the scene where Harold walks into the news studio and is drenched in rain and does the I'm as mad as hell and we're not going to take it anymore. That was because it was raining on the day when they were filming in the office building.
Oh, they're like, oh crap.
Wow. Yeah, so we have to be do
rain continuity everywhere else now. Yeah.
I mean, the continuity was really good in this. I didn't notice anything off out of place. No weird cuts. No.
I did notice one, TC. Shit. One.
Oh, where
and
was
you,
it?
You might have noticed this too. During the Oscar speech of that redheaded wife person, where she was yelling at the main news guy, you know, she's like, do you love her? And he says yes. And then she freaks out for like 3 minutes. Yeah. There's a piece of really, really bad ADR right in the middle of that scene.
I didn't notice
she's
that.
Facing away from us.
Facing away, like, towards him, like she's on the left, he's on the right.
Right.
She's kind
of
looking.
I kind of noticed that a little bit where it seemed strange. Like it sounded like, well, something must have went wrong there and they had to punch that in
or
something.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wasn't in the middle of her yelling, and it wasn't that necessarily her mouth didn't match the audio, but it was the level and sound of the audio was completely different than the rest of that scene.
So bad mixing.
Yeah.
Last minute. Yeah. Bad, maybe.
And it's kind of surprising that you'd think that might ruin her chance for an Oscar, but back then that probably didn't matter very much.
Yeah, I mean, maybe people were used to more of a bad mix back then. It was just kind of a thing.
Yeah. So yeah, again, a lot of rehearsals. That's how the people got very comfortable with themselves. They rehearsed before they were shooting, save some money, do everything in one take.
I don't remember. Did they do that for Dog Day Afternoon?
They did.
Is that what he does in every movie?
Yep.
Yeah.
The people in Dog Day like wore their own clothes and everything, and they used their own names a lot of the time, just so it would be easier for people to get into the roles.
Not the worst idea.
Yeah, it works for him. The Mad as Hell speech, first half was take two, and the second half was take one. They did 1.5 takes, and the actor, quote, ran out of gas.
Oh, no way.
Yeah. Sidney Lumet did not know that he was sick. The actor who played Harold died within the year.
He died before the... He was the first person to have a posthumous Oscar.
Yes.
Oh, man.
So he had a bad heart. But that, I mean, that's makes it all the more incredible that, like, he seemed like he was flipping out. Like, that's got to make your heart race to do that. But yeah. The scene where all the people were yelling, where is Mad as Hell? We're not going to take it anymore. That was filmed in abandoned buildings. They had electricians wire up all the rooms they wanted lit up, and they shot it in one night with like lightning sticks, which are like very bright light bulbs that flash back and forth. So that was all like just fake and filmed in one night in New York in an abandoned building.
Didn't notice.
Yeah, looked like just regular New York. I think that's pretty much all I have.
Yeah. I don't really have much more to say here. Yeah. Yeah.
Johnny?
Go see it.
See it.
Very enjoyable. Download very interesting.
It. Yeah. Download it. Pay money. So you think people should see it, but do you think people should put it on the top 250?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
I would.
I would too.
Not too many more out there like it.
Would you put it higher on the top 250 than it is?
We're not having that
discussion.
Where are
we at now? I don't even know where we are.
Damn it. John doesn't want to play with me.
What are we at? 180?
At 180? I would put it pretty far up there. Wow. I think it's a good combination of just really good acting, being really thought-provoking, and then also predictive.
Yeah.
it's kind of an unusual combination.
It is. All right, so you don't want to answer that one, but what do you think about, should it have won Best Picture over Rocky?
It's tough.
It is tough.
Rocky is a hard one.
Rocky really had a big impact on film, too. It had its own sort of impact, I think, and to this day remains like it's a very well-known film, more well-known probably than Network still.
Yeah.
I mean, the story of that story was a little bit more unique than like the story of TV that everyone's already used to. I don't know. That's a tough one.
Yeah, I'd agree. I don't know. I don't know why I asked this. I thought maybe we might get a discussion going, but I am also equally confused. This movie seems completely different than Rocky, so it would be hard to judge.
No, but it is an interesting contrast. I think Rocky was more about its sort of honestness and realism and still telling this sort of inspirational story, and that was very impressive. This is a bunch of really smart people meticulously doing something and also like just going a little crazy, too. And so it's such a difference between these two things, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So next week, guys, first of all, any more thoughts on this movie? Doesn't seem like it.
No, just go see it.
See it.
I got nothing.
Timmy, what'd you think?
Nah, so good.
Surprised.
Timmy is
a little highbrow for Timmy.
Yeah.
It's a little bit higher up than Timmy likes.
Timmy thought Faye Dunaway was pretty. Yeah, she was kind of funny, though.
Yeah. Next week we got another good one, guys. We're gonna watch a new one.
What is it?
A new one. We're gonna watch and get ready to feign surprise, TC. We're gonna watch Spotlight 2015.
Oh yeah, right.
Directed Spotlight. By Tom McCarthy. Yeah.
That's the one with the kids and the priests
and
Boston.
And the Boston.
Yeah.
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 Where are we from?
Timmy knows that one.
Yeah, Timmy does.
Timmy knows that one for sure. Isn't that right, Timmy? Oh, fucking priest.
Father, go fuck yourself.
Yeah, the Cardinal Law guy just died.
Oh, yeah. Hey, thank God, huh?
Yeah,
hey,
seriously. Lived too long. Anyway, Spotlight 2015, the true story of how Boston Globe uncovered the massive scandal of child molestation and covered up within the local Catholic archdiocese, shaking the entire Catholic Church to its core. It's got Mark Buffalo in it. What else do you need to know?
Buffalo.
Yep.
Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo. Come on, Mark Buffalo. Act it up, dude.
Mark Buffalo.
All right. So, yeah, thanks for listening. Go to our website, mission250filmcast.com. Our list is frozen. You can check out our older episodes. Like and subscribe on iTunes. like, follow, and whatever, comment on Facebook and Twitter. And thanks for listening.
Email us.
Email us.
Yeah.
Mission250filmcast at gmail.com if you feel like it. So yeah, no more thoughts, guys. I'll talk to you next week. We're going to watch Spotlight. We definitely didn't watch it last week. That's not confusing.
Nope.
Rate and subscribe. Goodbye.
Rate and subscribe. Again, see you guys. We just said that because we definitely didn't just do a giant edit point.
Goodbye. I don't know. Goodbye.